It is so good to catch up with friends, isn't it? And more than friends, aren't we all family? Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11 this week. So go ahead and turn there, Colossians 3, 1 to 11. The last time that I was supposed to be up here, I was in communication with Marcus during the week, and as it turned out, the week before, my mom had fallen, broken a couple of ribs, and you know, if you've ever had that, you know what that can do to your oxygen level and your strength and your ability to do things. She got taken in, I think it was on a Saturday, it was. And so my sister and I convened there. My sister's up in Camas, and of course I'm in Hillsborough, and so we convened at the hospital. And my plan was to spend a few minutes with mom and my sister, and then 4 o'clock I was going to head out from the hospital. I was going to go see dad, make sure he's got everything situated for dinner, and come about 3:55 on the dot. I get a call from their assisted living place, and it says, hi, this is Bonaventure. Is this Tori? And I said, yes. And of course, now every time they call, I know what's coming. They called this week about some other thing, and I was like, I had my heart attack. But dad had fallen as well, and so he was on his way to meet us, thankfully, at the same hospital. So during that week, it was a topsy-turvy week, to say the least. And come about Friday or Saturday night, I'm spending the night out at mom and dad's. Dad's still recovering. They're adjusting to a new normal of mom not being able to help as much. And I call Marcus and I say, Marcus, I can't do it. We met up. I'd prepared during the week. And, you know, some of those things take priority. And I sorely missed you all. And so now we're going to get 2 sermons in one. So I hope you don't have any plans, because we're going to have a good time. At least I'm going to have a good time. Maybe you guys be praying for yourselves. But family is important, isn't it? When family is hurting, it's difficult to focus on much of anything. So that idea of, you know, taking care of family, being impacted, being distracted by things that are important, but maybe taking away from our focus on the Lord. This passage, Colossians 3, verse 1 to 11, really spoke to me this week. I think God was preaching to me as I prepared for this week. Went out to see mom and dad last Sunday after church. And if you have an elderly parent, you know the feelings that go through your mind when your dad gets up out of his electric wheelchair to sit down in his lifty rocker, and he gets up about halfway and he just stops. And so all through this week, I've been thinking and talking to Bobby about, you know, be praying, because I want to make sure that dad's taken care of. And that's my... that's my focus. But again, this week the Lord spoke to me through this passage. A little bit of a background before we get into Colossians 3, verse 1. As we've been studying through Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, we've learned that there's been false teachers amongst their midst. And so some of those things, we don't know exactly what those things were, but some of those false teachings could have been related to Jewish rituals, circumcision, you must eat certain things or not eat certain things. All of those were coming down on the people at Colossae, and the false teachers were basically trying to help them, to hinder them in their walk and really convince them, okay, what you have in Christ is not enough. You need to add these other things. And just before we get started, Colossians 2, verse 23, Paul's addressing the false teachers, and it says, The false teaching has indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. But what? How much value are they? They are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. We're going to talk about God's battle plan against sin. And we're going to go through that as we get into Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. But it has no value in the indulgence of the flesh. So let's look at Colossians 3. If you could stand with me in honor of God's word. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 11. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that you have given us today to go over, to remind ourselves of the importance of setting our minds on things above. Lord, as we go through here, help us to understand your battle plan against sin. And Lord, that this will not be a time that we just gather together and tomorrow we forget what we talked about. But Lord, may this be a passage that that we just stew in, that we ruminate in, Lord, that you would use to change us so that we may become more and more like your Son. Lord, open our ears to hear from you, and Lord, those things that stumble out of my own mouth, I just pray that it would pass over the ears of all of us here. Help us to focus on your word and what you have to say. We pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So that first section, Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4, you know, remember that Paul was making his case against the false teachers, that their ways did not have power to stop the indulgence of the flesh. If we just stopped there, then it would be a matter of, okay, Paul, so what does have power to stop the indulgence of the flesh? What does it take? Paul previously established that as believers in Christ, we have been raised with him. This is one thing I want to get out of the way before we get any further, because we're going to get into some practical aspects. But let's remember what Christ has done for us. There is a past tense. There is justification that God has made for us, that Christ has made for us. Colossians 2, 11 through 12, which interestingly was just the passage that I was going to preach last time. So here's our mini sermon before we get into the real sermon. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. In him also you were circumcised with circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So Paul talks about circumcision of the heart, how he's saying here how we're circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, what he did on the cross. What happened to Christ at the end of his journey on the cross? He died. He died. Christ died. That part is finished. And Paul's saying that we have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. One of the things that we'll see in this first section is we'll see that we are in Christ, that we're hidden in Christ, that if we've been raised with Christ, then do these things. We need to realize that in Christ, we have died to our old selves. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, then your old self is put away. Your old self has died. We have been buried with him. We have been raised with Christ to a new life. That's the context of which we're going to be getting into today in Colossians 3. If you're here today and you haven't put your trust in Christ, I invite you to do that. That is the most important thing you can do. For this section, if we look at Colossians 3, this doesn't really apply to you. It may be one of those passages where you may come across with an idea of, I need to do better. That's not what we're coming from. Paul is writing to the Christians in Colossae that have put their trust in Christ. This is our justification. This is what's already happened to us. We have died in Christ. Now, what do we do from here? So I wanted to make that clear. Let's not take that for granted. And let's move on to Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. So Paul says to put on the new self. First two verses we'll look at today, and there's two commands in these verses. We'll just step right through these. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So that if, I'm an engineer at heart. So when somebody says if, I'm thinking, okay, if this is true, then I should do that. That's not the way that Paul's using this right here. In the beginning here, there's a transition from the theological, the doctrinal part of Colossians to the practical side of things. You can see a similarity in Ephesians 4 that Paul, at the beginning, he's talking about doctrine, and then he makes that transition into practical matters. So if then is not the typical if then else structure that I may think of, but it's really a sense. Because you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above. That seeking there is not a matter of, okay, I lost my keys and I know that I have a tile on it, so I'm really not going to search that hard. I always lose my keys, just without a doubt. I'm always losing my keys. I'm losing my spectacles if I have my contacts in. These things get lost. I lose my water bottle. Pastor probably lost his tissues this morning. And I'm so glad that I was right there, Johnny on the spot, to bring up and serve my pastor in this way. But if I know that, okay, if I get in a bind, then I can just pull up my phone and I can bring up the Tile app and I say, okay, find my keys. I go beep, 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 and then I can find them. I've been in church before. In fact, almost before it gets locked up and don't have keys, and I'm like, oh, I don't have my keys. I'm busy talking to people and I don't have my keys. And I'm like, wait, please don't lock up. But when we have a backup like that, it's kind of a half-hearted search. When I was a kid, I used to think that, well, you know, if I can't find something, Mom will. It's the same with my wife. She knows where everything is. So it's a haphazard searching. It's like when your kids open the refrigerator door and you say, Mom, we don't have any milk. Well, it's right there in front of your face. That's not what Paul's talking about here. This seeking is an intense, effort-driven seeking. So because we have been raised with Christ, seek, search, find the things that are above. where Christ is, where he's seated at the right hand of God. When Christ died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That's the end. When we put our trust in Christ, that's the beginning and the end of our salvation right there. We are saved. The second half, or the second part, is really our sanctification, which we'll see next. This is a command. We're commanded to seek the things that are above. He goes on and says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." So again, another command. Set your minds on things that are above. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes that can be difficult. We may have elderly family that are going through things. I needed that reminder last week of, you know, God is ultimately in control. Mom and Dad can have to make their own decisions. I can't control what they're doing. God needed to remind me to put my trust in him and to not have my head down looking at the troubles of this world, but to look up to him, to seek him, to put my mind on things that are above. You know what that did to my week? I had to keep thinking through that. But when we can grasp that, our week is so much better. We go from anxiety and, you know, sometimes depression to having to correct ourselves and say, "No, Tori, that's not the thing to be thinking about. Think about our position in Christ. Think about those things. That's what we're to be seeking." And our attitudes turn around with that. Just like me, you guys may need to tell yourself this on a daily or hourly basis. Okay, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. Catch myself going down a bad trail. Okay, what does God's word say? God's word says, seek the things that are above. It's just a battle that we have to fight. And we have to move forward in our life with. Verse 3, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So I struggled with this week. It wasn't intuitively obvious what Paul's trying to get across. But again, remember, we have died to our old selves. "For you have died, and now my life is hidden with Christ in God." I think about, you know, just what does that mean for our life to be hidden in Christ? It means that we are protected. We're held fast. We are, what we truly are may not be seen by the world, but we are hidden in Christ. We are in his hands. We are comfortable, or he is providing us comfort there. And then not just that our life is currently hidden in Christ, but at verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." What is that referring to? You know, I take that as referring to the second coming of our Lord. We have a friend of mine I was talking to this week was struggling with this idea of when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will be appear with him in glory. And he was like, "Okay, so what about this middle time where physically we've died, and what happens then until we get our resurrected bodies when Christ returns?" I reminded him of the passage where Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the way it works is that we live to our old selves when we were walking in those things, when we had not accepted Christ. When we accept Christ, when we put him as our boss, as our master, as king of our lives, and we put our trust in him, then we are dead to our old selves. We're living in this time period right now where Christ is sanctifying us. He's creating us to be more and more like his son. Kind of, breaking off the sharp edges and really helping us to become more and more like him. When we die, we are absent from our body. We're present with the Lord. So we're with him spiritually in heaven. And then, you know, when Christ returns, that's when we'll be raised up. We will have a new body like Christ's. It's not going to be, we get a picture of that in the New Testament when Christ returns. His resurrected body still has the marks, still has the hole in his side where the spear went in. It has the holes in his hands. He tells Thomas, come and see. This is a picture of our resurrected body that Paul's talking about here. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We have a future to look forward to. We may go through our lives here, and yes, God is shaping us to be like him, but our lives are truly hidden in Christ. We're protected in him. And then when he appears, then we'll also appear with him in glory. Paul goes on. So this first part really talks about our relationship with Christ. How do we have set up a battle plan against sin? The first is that we have to recognize what Christ has done for us. Where we were, where Christ has us right now. Our lives are hidden in Christ. So that's our relationship with Christ and how that can impact our relationship with sin. Verses 5 to 8 moves on to the next part. It talks about our relationship with ourselves and with our emotions, specifically with our love and with our hate. Paul says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these too you once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Paul says to put to death, just like in the first four verses, we had two imperatives, two commands. Those commands were to set your minds on things that are above, and the other one is to seek, thank you, seek the things that are above. We're to seek the things that are above. We're to set our minds on the things that are above. Now Paul gives us this strong command. He says, put to death. What does that mean? Does it mean that with the sexual immorality and all these things that we just put it aside? We just play with those things? Is that what Christ is calling us to do? What happens when we put something to death? Do we just simply set it aside? Or do we take it off and just throw it into the dumpster fire? Because it is sin. Verse 6, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Again, remember, our old self lived in these things. Christ has saved us. God is sanctifying us. What are we to do? We are saved already. Don't get confused there. We are to put to death those things that are earthly in us. The way Paul writes this out is he starts with the action. Sexual immorality. Well, what's the cause of that? The cause of that is impurity. The cause of impurity is passion. The cause of that is evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. What is that passion word? Are you ever like passionate about something? Maybe you're passionate about the Blazers and you're eager to talk about exactly what's going on with their roster. No?
Yes?
Okay. Are you ever tempted in a way where you think about it, or maybe something crosses your eyes, and then you think about it, and it's not just a fleeting thought. Then you think about it some more. This fire evil fire begins to kindle within you. Maybe as you go throughout your day, you're faced with a similar temptation, and you fan that into flames. And your mind becomes so passionate for that temptation. Where does that come from? That comes from evil desire. It comes from, Paul uses two of the Ten Commandments here. That evil desire comes from covetousness, the tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is a matter of, I want something so much that I'm willing to do anything to get it. Where is our mindset when we're in that frame of mind? Are we thinking about things that are above? Are we thinking about, you know, whatever temporary satisfaction that I think that I'll get from submitting to this temptation? Whatever satisfaction I used to get in my old life, we are to think about those things that are above. We are to think about, you know, underneath there's a longing for relationship, a longing for intimacy. What we used to fill that with, we need to put that to death. The other thing that helps with us knowing that is that in Christ, all things are fulfilled to the extreme. There was a transition point in my Christian walk where I was struggling with temptation and sin and just, okay, I can't do this anymore. I just have to give in to this. That's not the case as a Christian who is now dead to his old self. It was like a revelation to me that the Lord gave that as a new creation in Christ, I am no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to submit to that. There's great freedom in knowing that that's my old self. I'm going to put that old self to death. That is no longer me. How do we do that? We replace it with things that are greater. We replace it with the things that Christ has. We are to think about those things that are above. How do you have a battle plan against sin? You put to death your old self. That's no longer me. I am a new creation in Christ. And I fulfill that with God's word, with thinking on things that are above. You can't just get rid of something and expect it to just go away. You have to fill it with something better. Christ is better. Amen? He uses two of the Ten Commandments, the tenth commandment, covetousness, and then he uses the first commandment. He talks about idolatry. You have the first and the tenth. I was sharing this passage with a group Friday morning, and one of the ladies was asking, okay, you know, this covetousness is idolatry. Is Paul specifically just limiting this to sexual immorality? And I said, I think what Paul's doing here is he's using that as an example. Now, don't hear me wrong. There is a strength and just an indwelt passion and evilness within sexual immorality. But Paul expands this to covetousness and idolatry. What's the root of all sin? It's wanting something we do not have, or we do not think we have, and it's putting ourselves above God. If we're giving in to sexual immorality, if we're giving in to, you know, evil thoughts, what are we doing? I want something more than my wife. I want something more than whatever God has provided. Paul is bringing this out very clearly. And let me be clear as well. Anything that is outside of a husband and wife relationship in a marriage covenant that is sexual of nature is sin. It is on account of these that the wrath of God is coming. We need to remind ourselves of this because society does not say this any longer. In order to be changed into the likeness of Christ, we have to know his word, we have to trust in his word, and we have to live out his word. Put it to death. Make today the end of that sin. Put your trust in Christ. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. So many times as we read through Scripture, I'm reminded that Paul's telling us, this used to be you. This is no longer you. So Paul says, in these too you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Verse 8 talks about hate. Verse 8 says you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Put them all away. There are things that as Christians we may say or we may jest about. We may post something on social media about it. We need to check ourselves and understand that those things too must be put away. That's no longer us. We are new creations in Christ. Moving on into our last section, talking about our relationship with one another. Where have we been so far? We're looking at our battle plan against sin. We need to understand our relationship with Christ, that we are new creations, that we are hidden in Christ. We need to understand that we have a relationship to our, a new relationship to ourselves in both love and hate. We need to put to death all those earthly things that are in us. Just like kill it. I cannot say that strong enough. You have to kill your old self. In this last section, it's our relationship with one another. Verses 9 to 11 says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its creator. This is talking about our relationship with others, our relationship with other believers. Do not lie to one another. We shouldn't be lying in general to the outside world, to those in the church, but Paul's addressing the family. He says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. This is a repeating theme in this section of Scripture. Your old self has died. Put on the new self. Do not lie to one another. When we lie, what's the root of that? You know, a lot of times it's, okay, I want to look better than I really am. I want to say, oh, you know, this is what I did at work this week. And, you know, there might be a little fibbing to go along with that. And I might say, you know, this is what I did this week, where really it was my team at work that did all that work. All I did was set aside some time and give them some coaching. Do not lie to one another. We need to be truth tellers. Do not lie to one another. We need to stand firm on what God says, and we cannot go along with those things of the world. We cannot live by lies. We cannot say that so-and-so is a woman if they are not a woman. We are to not live by lies. Remember, I'm saying this for our benefit. We need to live in Christ. We want to be whole in him. We have been justified. What has God called us to do? He's called us to live that out. Sometimes that is not something that the culture wants to hear. But we have to stand strong and we have to not live by lies. And have put on the new self. We've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So as God is shaping us, as we are, we're allowing our opinions to be formed by God's word. That's really what it talks about in verse 2, set your minds on things above. Those things that are above are to be forming our opinion of the world around us. Now, what are we to do? We're to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. In 1665, the bubonic plague was going around London. This was a terrible, terrible plague. Killed many, 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 many people. One of the things that the ruling authorities decided to do, and they didn't know any better. They didn't have modern technology, modern science, modern medicine to know what the source of the bubonic plague was. Later, we can look back and we can say, you know, one of the biggest things was the rat fleas. What the governing authorities would do is they had this mounting problem of people dying and the poor not being taken care of. And so what did they see? What they saw with their eyes was that, okay, here's all these people that are dying. They have clothes. The poor do not have clothes. These other people have clothes that look clean and that are maybe the trend of the day and are fashionable. Let's take those clothes and let's give them to the poor. You know what was in those clothes? Rat fleas. The bubonic plague was infiltrated in those clothes. Imagine you're one of those poor people that received those clothes. At first, maybe you're thinking, oh, this is great. I can not be made fun of because of my clothes. I can fit in. I can do all these sort of things. I can be with the in crowd. And then you have family members that are dying with these boils around their body. You realize that the reason that they are suffering with that is because these clothes came from the dead. These clothes, which are infested with these rat fleas, came from them who died a terrible and miserable death. You realize this, and what do you do with the clothes you have on? I have these clothes. These clothes have been the devastation of my family. Mom and dad have died because of this bubonic plague. The clothes I have on are the culprit. What are you going to do? You're going to take them off. You're going to take them off without a second thought. You're going to rip those clothes off. You're going to start a fire in your barrel bin, and you're going to take those and you're going to put them in there, and you're going to burn those so they do not cause any more damage. That's the image that Paul is talking about here. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. You have taken off the old self. Just like you would have taken off those, you'd have thrown those clothes off and burned them in the fire. That's what we need to do with our old self and those old temptations. We have to recognize who we are in Christ. We are a new creation. Remember what we were to give us the strength and the joy of knowing what Christ has done for our lives, and realize that Christ has already done that, and that's who I am now. I need to live like it. I need to throw off the old self and take on the new clothes that Christ provides. That's our battle plan against sin. That's what Paul has laid out here for us. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But that put to death, that's not listed as a continuous action that we need to continue doing. It's more of a, it's in the past. We need to decide today that we're going to put that to death. That's done and gone for. Why do I no longer do those things? Because that part of me is dead. What we need to do continuously is what we talked about earlier. Seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above. The temptations are still there, but they are a whole lot easier to handle with the Lord's help and the working of the Holy Spirit within us to stop them at the very root before they progress into evil desire and passion. We need to recognize those temptations and throw them away. If we were to make an impact in this world for Christ, we need to stand out. How do we do that? We are, Paul says in Galatians that he is crucified with Christ. The old self no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. That's what we need to do. Take joy in our salvation and have that be lived out in our lives. Verse 11, I was confused about this for majority of this week. So how does this fit? Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, what is Paul talking about? He's talking about not lying to one another. He's talking about that family that can encourage us and lift us up. Here, in our family, here today, there is not Greek and Jew. There is not racial differences. There is not circumcised and uncircumcised. Wherever we are on the middle income, upper income, lower income, that doesn't matter. We are family. Why? Because Christ is all and is in all. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We will all appear with Christ in glory when he returns. Get past the sin that so easily entangles us. Forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not lie to one another, because we are family and we can lift each other up and help each other fight sin in the Lord's help. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this word that you have given to us. Help us to set our battle plan against sin today. Help us to understand that we need to recognize who we were so that we can fully appreciate the awesomeness of what you have done in our lives. Lord, let that huge difference just come to light for us. Help that to drive our joy in Jesus. And Lord, help that to help us to put to death those things that are so easily entangled us, that drive our evil desire, our evil passion. Lord, help us to lift each other up and to love on one another truly. Help us to be thankful for those things that you have given us. Give us that heart to recognize that our old sin doesn't even compare to the joy that you give to us in Christ. Lord, help us to be living out your word. Help us to set our minds on things above. Help that to replace what used to be our sinful thoughts and actions. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.